So months ago, that great wise atheist Christopher Hitchens was asked, do the non-believers have a favorite presidential candidate?
No, they don't. There's a tendency for atheists to be liberals. There isn't certainly a candidate, no.
No candidate? Well, then maybe someone answered Christopher Hitchens' prayers on Inauguration Day.
Our patchwork heritage is a strength, not a weakness. We are a nation of Christians and Muslims, Jews and Hindus, and non-believers.
Non-believers down on their knees over Obama? We'll find out on The Takeaway.
All across America, this is The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji from WNYC and PRI.
Good morning. It's Thursday, January 2nd, and that's 22nd. And that's right, John. One word, non-believers. And that certainly sparked a lot of discussion.
Absolutely. Good morning, Adora.
Good morning, John, and good morning, everyone. We will have a discussion on faith in America today. And we'll also take a look at why President Bush was sworn in again last night and at people in Nashville who are voting today on an English-only proposal. Those stories coming up. First, these headlines.
Playing at the White House, Oath to the Return. Adora referred to this. President Obama and Chief Justice Roberts redid the oath of office last night. They both misplaced the word faithfully at the inauguration. Since it's spelled out in the Constitution, they thought it was a good idea to say it right just to be safe. Non-believers take note, there was no Bible at the second swearing in. Also on the president's dance card, a pay freeze.
During this period of economic emergency, families are tightening their belts, and so should Washington. And that's why I am instituting a pay freeze on the salaries of my senior White House staff.
Senior staff in this case means those making more than $100,000 a year.
And the president, President Obama, not President Bush, has also ordered government agencies to make more information public. Today he's expected to order the Guantanamo Bay prison camp closed. He's already put in a halt to stop trials there. There's a ceasefire in Gaza, but European Union Foreign Policy Chief Javier Solano reminds us that it's delicate.
Let me say that now it's a ceasefire. It is fire which still is very fragile. We have to make all the efforts, and I appeal to everybody who can help in that direction, to make this ceasefire sustainable, to make this ceasefire lasting.
Top Israelis are in Egypt today, where talks focus on supporting the ceasefire. Borders and tunnels are the sticking point. There's pressure on Israel to open border crossings so more supplies can get it to Palestinians. Israel wants a shutdown of tunnels into Gaza used to smuggle weapons. A move to trade a Clinton for a Kennedy is dead. Caroline Kennedy is out of the race to succeed Hillary Clinton in the Senate. In a midnight statement, she said she's pulling out of consideration for personal reasons.
We'll have a lot more on that. Oscar nominations come out in a couple of hours, which means the stars announcing the nominees have to be on TV at 5:30 a.m. Hollywood time, which means they're all available to be booked on the program. We'll have them all later on. Yeah, right. The Dow gained 3.5% yesterday, closing at 82.28. The S&P begins trading at 8:40. Home construction and jobless numbers are coming out later this morning, but it appears to be a flat open. Did Obama answer your prayers on Tuesday or strike the fear of God in your heart when he mentioned non-believers? It's an important bit of rhetoric, and we're going to talk about it, but tell us your story at 877-8-MY-TAKE or mytake at thetakeaway.org. One word, non-believer, in the inauguration address.
Yeah, and why did he do it, do you think? And who was he talking to specifically, and how did you feel about it when you heard him say it? 877-8-MY-TAKE or mytake at thetakeaway.org.
The Takeaway is made possible by Liberty Mutual's Responsibility Project, encouraging discussion about what it means to do the right thing. ResponsibilityProject.com.
The Takeaway is supported by the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, advancing journalistic excellence in the digital age. More information about the Foundation's digital initiatives at knightfoundation.org. The Corporation for Public Broadcasting and by the Alfred P. Sloan Foundation to enhance public understanding of science and technology in the modern world.
You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji.
Good morning, everyone. Well, it was a whirlwind day yesterday, and, it was a Senate up-and-down controversy you might associate with the state of Illinois, but no, it was the state of New York. First, Hillary Clinton was confirmed as Secretary of State, vacating her Senate seat. Then it appeared as though David Paterson, the governor of the state of New York, was about ready to nominate or appoint Caroline Kennedy to be the senator from the state of New York. But early this morning, Caroline Kennedy officially took herself out of consideration, citing personal reasons. Joining us to talk about all of this and what might be behind it is Elaine Rivera, who's a WNYC reporter on state government. She joins us from New York. Elaine, thanks for being part of the program.
Well, thank you, John.
Boy, it was up and down and all over the map yesterday. First of all, the personal reasons cited by Caroline Kennedy, do you think that's really what's behind this?
Not really, because her uncle's been sick for a while. And my understanding is that he has been advocating for her, not directly to Governor Patterson, but through different other different channels. So I don't think that's the real reason. But it's been, you know, a roller coaster ride from the very beginning when she entered into the race.
Well, she certainly got a lot of blowback, or maybe encountered less than an enthusiastic reception on the part of the media and also people upstate and in these kind of sort of private meetings she was having with various sort of political people trying to test her own credibility as a senator. Do you think that had something to do with this?
Yeah, I think, you know, there's this feeling like, you know, she was cutting the line. And, you know, there's all these people in the Democratic Party here who have tremendous amount of experience, who've paid their dues, who've done the hard work, and that she could just come in and jump in front of the line. There was a lot of, it rankled a lot of people. So,
it seemed to be clear late in the evening, as late as maybe like 9:30 last night, that David Patterson was ready, according to reports in a couple of newspapers, to actually appoint her. So I'm wondering if the governor got caught unawares here.
Well, he was sending mixed signals, and this could have been a reason. Maybe he angered her, because the day before, as you might recall, he gave two different interviews. One in the morning where he said he was pretty sure about his selection, but then he gave an interview to CBS and told Katie Couric that he still hadn't made up his mind. While very impressed with Caroline Kennedy, she was still facing stiff competition.
Mm-hmm. Well, one last question: what do you think the chance is? And I'm speculating here. What do you think the chance is here that Caroline Kennedy just looked at the next 2 years as an uphill battle, as about as big a contrast with the life that she's led up till now, and just kind of said, you know what, I'm walking away from this?
I think, you know, the media scrutiny and, her initial rollout, she's an extremely private person. And I think, yes, maybe she just said, I don't need this headache. You know, maybe she's more like her, you know, her mother, who was a very, very private person,
sure.
Jackie Kennedy, versus, her, you know, having the political, Kennedy DNA.
Sure. Well, there are a lot of people in the state of New York who are ready to have that headache. That's for sure. We'll find out who might be the appointee later on today. Elaine Rivera, thanks so much for joining us. NYC reporter on state government about Caroline Kennedy withdrawing herself from consideration for the New York Senate seat.
And creating some drama here in New York
Indeed.
As to who is going to be the next senator after, as you said, John, Secretary of State Hillary Rodham Clinton vacated her Senate seat. And that makes President Obama's cabinet about 2/3 fully confirmed. But it appears the confirmation for his pick for Attorney General Eric Holder may not happen very quickly, or at least not as quickly as President Obama would like. With more on the confirmations and the comings and goings on Capitol Hill, Todd Zwillick, reporter for Capitol News Connection, joins us. Good morning, Todd.
Hello, Adora. How are you?
Before we get to the day's news, first of all, explain to us exactly how President Obama was sworn in again last night.
Yes, well, that's right. People have probably heard, people almost definitely saw the fact that Chief Justice John Roberts kind of flubbed that oath of office during the inauguration. It didn't go too smoothly. The strange thing is that the oath of office is constitutionally prescribed. There are 35 words, I guess, that are in the Constitution. It says the new president shall say these words. Well, Obama didn't really say them because Roberts kind of messed it up. So
I think he needs to be impeached. I think Roberts needs to be impeached over this.
Well, just to be sure, last night, sort of late, Chief Justice Roberts got in his limo, went down to the White House, and they did it again, probably sort of to put any speculation to rest that it wasn't appropriate. The White House put out a statement saying, just to make sure that it adheres to the Constitution, we're going to do it a second time. And then I had an interesting conversation with Arlen Specter. Now, the funny thing about this is that in 2005, John Roberts testified for 3 days in front of the Judiciary Committee for his confirmation hearings, mostly without notes, just riffing on the Constitution off the top of his head. Quite a brilliant man. Arlen Specter was chairman of Judiciary at the time, so I ran into him last night and I asked him what he thought about the fact that after all that testimony, these two lines got flubbed. So listen to this.
It was an oddity under very heavy glare. He's the Chief Justice of the United States and a very important man, but he will never have more people watching what he did than that fumble. It is in his legacy. Only a footnote.
Yeah, right.
Only a footnote. Anyway, it's good to know that President Obama now has been fully sworn in, and that brings us to his cabinet. And what's holding up the nomination for Eric Holder to become the Attorney General?
Well, it's in the Judiciary Committee still, and Holder was supposed to be voted out of the Judiciary Committee yesterday. Under the rules, Republicans have the prerogative to delay that vote by a week, and going into yesterday, the question was, will they exercise that prerogative? Because, as you probably know, they've had lots of questions about Holder, about pardons and about some of his actions there. Well, they did exercise that prerogative, and that has been held over for up to a week. The pardons are still an issue that are out there. The Mark Rich pardon, the FALN pardons of Puerto Rican nationalists when Holder was deputy attorney general in the Clinton administration. But there's some new issues that have come up. John Cornyn of Texas is now saying that he's uncomfortable with Holder's answers or lack of answers about whether...
Exactly, Todd. And we actually have some sound from the senator who seems to be putting a chink in the link here.
Yep.
I will do whatever I need to do in order to get answers to the questions.
Including possibly placing a hold if you have to.
If I have to get answers. But I don't, this shouldn't be that hard. I think what we're asking for is to do our job to try to find out what the nominee's answers to questions are. I don't think that's unreasonable.
So the senator there, Senator Cornyn, is certainly pushing quite hard on the Eric Holder nomination. But yesterday, when Tim Geithner, the nominee for Treasury Secretary, was in the midst of his hearings, boy, he got a grilling.
He did, although it looks like Geithner might be headed for a vote out of the Finance Committee today. It looks like he's probably going to get through. I should add on Holder real quickly. There are new questions about him. Cornyn's real problem at this point, he says, is Holder's lack of answers about whether or not he would want to go back retroactively and try to prosecute intelligence officials, operatives, policymakers about their actions in pursuing terrorists, whether or not things like enhanced interrogation or torture or crossing that line or ordering wiretaps or violating habeas corpus, whether he's going to want to go back and try to pick out people who allegedly did the wrong thing and try to prosecute them. Cornyn and some other senators are concerned that if that starts to happen, that intelligence operatives are not going to be very robust in trying to interdict terrorists and get actionable intelligence in the future if they think they could be prosecuted. So that's his line at the moment, that he now has questions about whether Holder is going to want to go back and prosecute people in the war on terror.
And the question of wrongdoing, that certainly came up with Tim Geithner, the nominee for the Treasury Secretary, as he faced senators yesterday.
Oh, sure. His tax issues, we're calling it now, I guess, have become a major issue in the Finance Committee. John Kyle of Arizona is the minority whip, and he came out yesterday and said that he was said that he was very dissatisfied. They had quite a testy exchange, he and Geithner, about whether Geithner sort of might have purposely let the statute of limitations on his 2001 taxes lapse. Because by law, you don't have to pay them after the statute of limitations is gone. Kyle said he was very dissatisfied, suggesting strongly that he's not going to vote for Geithner in the committee.
And then we got the apology from Geithner, and let's listen to that quickly.
Yeah.
These were careless mistakes. They were avoidable mistakes, but they were unintentional. I should have been more careful. I take full responsibility for them. I have gone back and corrected these errors and paid what I owed. I want to apologize to the committee for putting you in the position of having to spend so much time on these issues when there is so much pressing business before the country.
How did that go over quickly, Todd? And you said the vote on Geithner may come as soon as tomorrow?
As soon as today. It went over, Democrats are satisfied. Some Republicans are behind him. Orrin Hatch, I believe, is behind Geithner. John Kyle is not. So, you might see five or six votes against him, but there's no indication that he's not going to be confirmed at this point.
Thank you, Todd Zwillick, reporter for Capital News Connection, coming to us from Washington.
You can email us at mytake@thetakeaway.org or call us toll-free at 877-8-MYTAKE.
869-8253.